This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Let's play B-Migs.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah.
So everybody scream his name. B-Migs, don't be a loser.
Whoa, B-Migs, you're a loser. It is time for B-Migs. But it's Wednesday, so there be a whacking ahead.
Whack it.
Let me see everybody do their Mr. Wacky then.
All right.
Whack it.
And Steve, you were very good earlier. Unfortunately, your opponent was a lot better.
Gooder.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, more gooder. He was more gooder.
Yep.
And
the opponents have been stepping it up, I have to say. That's the difference. I think Steve's game's been pretty much the same, but the opponents have gotten better.
Yeah, I'm about to make some tweaks, you know, get rid of my defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Strengthen up my my offensive line. I feel like I'll be okay, though.
All right.
Okay. Then. All right. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's a new day. It's a new game. Well,
my brain is exploring other options, but, you know, I think we can keep them.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Wow.
Hey, what's the salary cap on that brain there?
Not much.
Let's get to our contestant. We got TJ in Tacoma. TJ, are you there? TJ.
He is on the line. He should be there. Hello, TJ.
TJ?
No. He's gone.
TJ.
TJ?
Yeah.
No. Right,
let's try Jeff.
Jeff, are you there? Jeff?
That is so weird.
TJ.
He's engaged.
TJ? Jeff?
Wow. Why are they not?
Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Fred. Bob.
Yeah.
Frank.
No,
sir.
I mean, the line's engaged, but no one's answering.
Something. Yeah, we hear
like, we hear a little crackle. He's like, Jeff, you got your mute on?
If anybody's on the phone right now, just make a sound.
Okay.
All right, then it looks like it's going to be Steve versus
Vicky, I think.
Vicky! Yeah! Okay.
All right,
I'm
Vicky.
I'm feeling a handicap match, brother.
Oh!
It's got to be Vicky and Danny.
Yeah!
All right.
It's the Millennials versus Steve.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Nice. All right, Steve, get out of here.
Gen X versus Gen Y.
Whack it.
Not. Get out of here. Wow. For those playing at home, TJ will have, or not TJ, Vicky and Danny will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Y'all can pass all you want, but you only get 3 guesses. You should know this by now. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Vicky, you got to turn your mic on.
I know. I didn't want to yell into the mic.
Oh, you should yell.
All right. Both of you shut up. Which Happy Days actor played Coach Klein in the 90s comedy The Waterboy?
Oh, what's his name?
That's what I'm asking.
Pass.
The Rubik's Cube was invented in which decade?
70s?
Yes. What two colors are the flag of Scotland?
Ooh, Danny?
Oh, that's a good question. Green and red.
No.
White and green?
No.
Pass?
Yeah. Which country singer had the songs 9 to 5 and Jolene?
Ooh, Dolly Parton.
Yes. Yeah. With tire pressure, PSI stands for pounds per square what?
Inch.
Yes. Joe Perry is famously the guitarist of which band?
Eagles?
No.
Oh, it's, I know it. I know
Joe
it.
Joe Perry. Why does that sound so familiar? Pass. Rolling Stones.
No.
Dang it.
Pass it.
Which former U.S. president founded the University of Virginia?
Pass.
Yeah.
Pass.
Larry Holmes was a champion at what sport?
Tennis?
No.
Golf?
No.
Basketball?
Whoa, no.
Wow.
Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain, and Jimi Hendrix all passed away at what age?
27.
Yeah. Yes. What flavors make up Neapolitan ice cream?
Strawberry, vanilla, chocolate.
Yeah. Yes. Which Happy Days actor played Coach Klein in the 90s comedy The Waterboy? Last chance.
Arthur Fonzarelli.
I know it's
Yeah, but
one.
It's not the guy. One, two, three, four, five correct.
You're too late.
Too late.
Too late. Only Dang five it. Correct.
Dang it. Yeah.
Because all late. I kept thinking was the Fonz.
Well, nice effort.
It was a solid effort from our millennials here.
Yeah.
I feel that a Gen Xer is going to have a very high chance of getting a win here.
Yeah.
Yes, the millennials did not know a lot of these questions.
Yeah. Steve, you're back. Are you ready?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Which Happy Days actor played Coach Klein in the 90s comedy The Waterboy?
Henry Winkler.
Yes. The Rubik's Cube was invented in which decade?
I'm going to go 60s.
No.
70s.
Yes. What two colors are the flag of Scotland?
Blue and white.
Yes. Which country singer had the songs 9 to 5 and Jolene?
Dolly Parton.
Yes. With tire pressure, PSI stands for pounds per square what?
Inch.
Yes. Joe Perry is famously the guitarist of which band?
Aerosmith.
Yes. Which former U.S. president founded the University of Virginia?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to go Bush.
No.
I'm going to go Lincoln.
No.
I'm going to go Taft.
No. Larry Holmes was a champion at what sport?
Boxing.
Yes. Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain, and Jimi Hendrix all passed away at what age?
27.
Yes. What flavors make up Neapolitan ice cream?
Oh, I call it the shocker of all ice cream. That's chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Yes. And Steve, you win Dolly Parton style. 9-5.
Yes.
Whacking your coworkers here.
Yeah, I sure did.
Whack it.
Yeah, they did a lot better than I expected, but then there were two of them.
Yeah, there was two of them.
There he is. He's back.
Like Andre the Giant taking on two jobbers.
Just knocking him to the side.
Be done with you. I'll sit on you.
Yeah, it's the older questions that were the brutal ones. Couldn't get Henry Winkler until after the time went.
Oh, no.
Didn't know Larry Holmes at all.
Nope.
Or Aerosmith, Joe Perry with Aerosmith either.
Oh, what's wrong with you guys?
I kind of thought that too.
I know. I couldn't think of I was like, I know the name. I just can't place what band he's in.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
The one that you both missed, the former U.S. president that founded the University of Virginia.
Was that Washington?
No.
Was it Jefferson?
Eisenhower.
It was Jefferson. Mm. BJ got that correct.
Nice job, BJ.
Yeah,
it would have been a different beat Miggs if I played.
I almost said Thomas Edison, so there's
that. Oh, Thomas Edison. He was the president of Menlo Park. There
he is. The best president ever, if you ask me. Yeah. It's all been downhill ever since he stopped being president.
Presidenting.
Yes.
That's it.
Well, congratulations on your win, Steve.
Oh, good job, Stevie.
Thank you. Feels good to win, BJ.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught this interview, but U2's Bono was talking about how he never really liked the band's name when they came up with it in 1978, which is so bizarre. Like, this is what they're known for, I mean, their entire legacy, legendary band. And way back in the day, he's like, nah, I didn't like the name.
So, I still don't. I really don't. But I was late into some kind of dyslexia. I didn't realize that the Beatles was a bad pun either. So I like the U2, if I thought the implication of the letter and the number in our head, it was like the spy plane, it was a, you know, U-boat, it was futuristic. But then, as it turned out, to imply this kind of acquiescence. No, I don't like that name. I still don't really like the name.
I don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
I think he was just putting in words just to sound smart. Personally,
yeah.
Like, he's like, band's name's dumb. Like, thanks, Bono. I get it. I'm with you. I used to not like U2 because of the name as well. Granted, I wasn't in the band. But as a kid, like, everyone was all going crazy about U2. Have you heard this band? And I'm like, that's a stupid name. And I didn't want to listen to them for the longest time because I thought their name was just stupid.
Well, look at you. You and Bono would have had something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be like, oh, finally, someone's being honest with me.
And how about this? Not only did Bono not like the name of the band, which he helped, I guess, create, but he also was not a fan of his own voice in those early years of the band either.
It's the voice. The band sounded incredible. I just found the voice very strained and not macho. And my Irish macho was kind of strained by that. It has been. But I only became a singer, it was like recently. Maybe it hasn't happened yet for some people's ears, and I understand that.
He's out there, man, with this interview. Like, he's like full on Aussie, just saying stuff that makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can understand that if you're an Irish dude and you really want to feel your manhood, that voice is not exactly what you would consider a manly man's voice, I suppose. You know,
I think all the ladies were ready to just throw their garments at him back in those days. I mean, he had that look and the voice. I thought was like part of what was his part of his charm.
But it was the late 70s, and you're thinking about bands like Aerosmith. You know, that era of rock where everybody just, you know, or AC/DC, everybody has a ballsy voice. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that he's actually starting a sound. Like they created a sound that became the sound of the 80s, really. But at the time, he probably felt like, oh, my God, I'm nowhere near my contemporaries.
Were you a big U2 guy?
I liked I Will Follow. I love that song a lot. Not,
I can see that.
Yeah, but not a lot of other U2 songs, to be honest. Though, then later on down the road, I did. But I Will Follow, then I took a break. And then when they got a little bluesy, you know, when he started having some guest people, When Love Comes to Town, I like that song a lot.
Yeah, it took me a while. I never really was a fan of them, ever. I mean, some people, my friends, like in growing up, they were all like big into like the earlier records, like Boy and all that stuff. And I was more of a metal guy. So it just really didn't do anything for me. I could look back now and like listen to the Joshua Tree and realize just how great of a record that was. But still not something that I would go out. I always tell myself, I should listen to that. And I'll be like four songs into it. And I'm like, you know, I had to listen to Biohazard or something. Like,
random. But. Yeah. Well, after four songs of the Joshua Tree, there are like none other that I remember. So yeah, I get those ones. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I know those. Now I'm done.
I get why people consider it a classic, though.
Yeah.
Totally.
Bono did share a funny story about a time that the singer Robert Palmer, he's the guy that's Addicted to Love guy. Is that him? Yeah. The time that Robert Palmer told U2's bassist Adam Clayton that he did not like Bono's voice. That's awesome.
Bride in the Name of Love from Unforgettable Fire, the song about Martin Luther King. Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love and all of that. Mm-hmm. He met Adam Clayton somewhere nice in the 80s, and he said, God, he said, would you ever tell your singer to, like, just take down the keys a little bit? He'd do himself a favor, you know, his voice a favor, and he'd do us all a favor who have to listen to him.
Do you think Adam Clayton waited until they were massively successful before he really shared that with Bono, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, Bono, you won't believe who told me that your voice sucks.
You wonder how many people told him that. You know, because he thought his voice stunk. Of course, Robert Palmer had that to say. And, I mean, it ended up being, a defining voice of a generation of music when you think about it, with their success. But, yeah, I suppose there's a lot of people that have been like, oh, my God, dude, give it a break.
Yeah, I can't think. It's weird. Like, I never once thought that he had a bad voice. I was never really a fan of the band. But it had nothing to do with any of the band members. Like, I thought they were all super talented musicians, from their drummers, just really cool and unique. The bassist, of course, but, like, you know, Edge out there, of crazy guitarist doing stuff with those effects pedals that I thought was just really different and cool. But I just never really was fond of the band. But never once did I think it was because of Bono's voice.
You know what it is?
I thought he had a cool voice.
Maybe it's because he emoted so well, because I really felt his pain in some songs, or at least, you know, Sunday Bloody Sunday. I mean, you really feel the pain of what that song is about because of how his voice is. And maybe that was just not prevalent with a lot of singers. But, I mean, you kind of knew how Bono was doing. You know, you really felt it. So, and he hated his own voice, I mean, which is really amazing to think that he would hate his own voice, a voice that would basically launch a great, great career.
I had a feeling, though, about a lot of the musicians. I mean, there's so many people that are just insecure just in general. There's a lot of, like, great singers out there that probably are really down on their voice or guitar playing or whatever it may be. But, like, you know, the world just adores them.
Do you think there's some? You're absolutely right. And there are some people who I think just think they're amazing. You know what I mean? You know, like you meet them and you can tell that, oh, this is not a person that's insecure about, or at least they are fronting badly. Maybe they really are insecure because, man, they don't come off humble at all about their skills. Yeah, you're right. I feel, you know, you wonder, like a guy like Chris Cornell never gave me that attitude. He always seemed, you know, very, very humble. And you got to wonder how he thought about his voice, which was also a fantastic voice.
Yeah, I got to imagine that he probably wasn't, because he was a drummer originally. Like they kind of just out of nothing, like a necessity, he got in front of the microphone and sang for the band, which is nuts to think of now. Like, where would that band have been if he just stayed behind the drums?
That is insane. I don't think I realized that, Steve. I totally did not know that about Chris. I didn't know he wasn't in front of the mic at first. Wow.
No.
Wow. Boy, you're right, dude. Well, I mean, that's an amazing voice that may never have been heard.
Crazy.
Wow. And you think of Dave Grohl, you got to wonder, since he was not, you know, singing originally, you know, you got to wonder how that was for him to go out there and, you know, obviously he's done a great job.
Yeah, he was doing backing vocals for some songs on Nirvana when they were performing, like in the live setting and also on, I think, on some of the recordings. But yeah, like never once he probably thought he was going to be a front man.
Yeah.
And it took him a minute to kind of, to become that front man that we know now. Like it took him a lot of time until he got comfortable enough to be that guy where all eyes were on him. I think at first, the early years of the Foo Fighters, there was a little, Eddie Vedder too. You watch that Pearl Jam documentary. The first, you know, few years of that band being a band, he was very shy and reserved up on stage, and then just something happened, and you know it's covered in the documentary, and it was just like all of a sudden he just the inner beast came out of him.
And there's another guy with a voice that you could easily say, okay, this is not a typical voice that you hear fronting a rock band, and I wonder how it was for him and what people said about him, because Eddie's got an amazing voice. I mean, you know, you love what he does, but it surely wasn't typical for, you know, what came before, you know, the Seattle Sound. Yeah, so that's, boy, man, that's crazy to think that those folks would be insecure, but it does make some sense. It is time for Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. Whatever you want to talk about, the floor is yours. We'll take your calls, we'll take your texts at 920 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose, brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Listeners on the Loose, where you pick the topic, you guide the show at 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. And remember this, when you are talking, Steve wants you to follow this rule.
It's a simple rule. Show some energy and bring it. Otherwise, you're going to get gonged. And then we say goodbye to you.
Goodbye, old friend.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
Texts are coming in. Actually, a few people brought this one up, but they wanted to know, hey, can you guys please talk about the When We Were Young concert that's happening in Vegas that was just announced? I got to imagine that Danny's pretty pumped for it.
Oh, yeah. Danny, you must be loving this lineup.
Oh, it's fantastic. I saw everyone. I kind of woke up to the news yesterday because everyone just texted me the flyer.
The internet just exploded with this flyer, which I thought originally was just like some kind of a fun meme that somebody put together. Like, these are all the bands I'd like to see live. I'm like, you just named every single emo band that came out back in the 2000s.
Right. And one, it was one of those two because like Coachella was like announced last week. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was kind of like a parody of like, oh, the emo Coachella is going to happen. But then it was like actually a thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was going to say this really wasn't that impressive of a lineup until Avril Lavigne was on there. And then I was like, okay.
True.
Dude, I had to zoom in on it when I first saw the poster, which is a pretty cool poster. It just looks like somebody's like jacket with patches of all the band names. Like, it's kind of cool. And then I'm like looking at this thing, I'm like, is there like an Avril Lavigne knockoff band? Like they have like a band name that's kind of like it, but it's not Avril Lavigne. And then I double clicked on it to zoom it out. And I'm just like, no, Avril Lavigne is on this show. That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. So My Chemical Romance is in there.
Paramore, A Day to Remember. Oh,
The Used.
So many bands.
One of my favorite bands, Thursday, is a part of it. But I'm like, if I want to see Thursday, I don't know if I want to drop like a ridiculous amount of money just to see Thursday play probably 20 minutes at this show.
Yeah, that's kind of the hard part for a lot of people. A lot of people really, and granted, I don't think that the price point for the ticket is super expensive, because I counted the bands and you're getting like 70 bands. And it's a
in one day.
In one day.
Yeah. Wow. That's so, yeah, 11 to 11.
Yeah. And so you're basically getting, or for a base ticket, it's like $225 plus fees. So it's probably about $4 a band. So that makes sense to me.
You're not going
to
get the VIP cabana at $12,500. You're not going to do that?
You know what's funny is I've actually had some friends who are like, hey, you want to go in? And I'm like, you know, kind of.
I had a couple of buddies that brought it up, and I'm like, no, absolutely. I'm not going to Vegas to go see it. It's as awesome as this looks. Like you said, at $4 a band to see them. You're not going to get to see every band, because they're going to have like probably like five stages. In order to get all these bands to get to play at least 20, 30 minutes, you got to imagine there's going to be, I'd say, at least three stages set up.
At least.
And they're gonna overlap. So what if like you want to see Taking Back Sunday and Manchester Orchestra, and they're both playing at the exact same time?
Yeah,
which I'd start a riot.
No, it's true. Well, and it's funny you say that, because a lot of people are like, like saying this is like, you know, kind of Warped Tour reincarnated, and it's like true. And there was so many times at Warped Tour where it's like, do I want to go see Less Than Jake or do I want to go see Good Charlotte, because they were playing at the same time, and it's like you just have to make those decisions. I just think that if I lived somewhere where I could drive, I would probably be more inclined to do it. But you know, round trip flight tickets plus hotel plus tickets,
it's a beating.
It's gonna be quite up there. And if you want to make your vacation that, do it. But I don't know that I can.
That's what you probably would do, Danny, because it's Vegas, right?
Yeah, it's Vegas.
Yeah. So I mean, at that point, you make a vacation out of it, because there's a lot to do in area.
What could you do in Vegas? I heard that's a pretty boring area.
Spend all your other money.
You got to go to the concierge. They'll tell you. Yeah, they'll help you out there. The concierge at the VIP cabana probably can help you out. Tickets do go on sale this Friday at whenweweyoungfestival.com if you decide you want to do this.
It's a great name for the festival, though. I thought that was a pretty clever name for it all. But you know what's funny is I'm looking at all this, and it's mostly like pop punk, emo type bands, then Avril Lavigne. And then Kitty. And I'm like, Kitty was just like this, like, really.
Oh my God.
They were all female, young, like, they were like teenage girls.
Yeah.
And they were like metal. And
yeah, teenage new metal band. I remember them.
I thought they were awesome back then, but they just do not fit in with any of these bands.
I literally just listened to one of their songs this past weekend, too. It ended up on my playlist.
Well, they're probably almost 40 now, right?
Oh shut up.
they're probably late 30s at least.
Yeah, well, they got to be. I mean, they got to be 30s at least if they were teens.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, some of them could be like, that's how crazy. How do you feel? How do you feel, Danny?
When we were young.
When we were young. I mean, we're all in our mid-30s with back problems now, so it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you're on the young end of the fan base of this, when you think about it. I mean, because you're what? You're 30-something, right? 32, 33?
I'm guaranteeing there's going to be a bunch of 20-somethings going to want to go to this.
Oh, for sure.
And even teens.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why like Emo Night is so popular here in Seattle. It sells out every single time, because that's just the DJ playing. If you actually get to go and see the bands, this is definitely more of an emo more than a pop punk. Like all of my favorite bands, the ones that I wanted to see, like Blink-182, Good Charlotte, none of those ones are on it. It's all kind of like later 2000s like emo music.
I want to go to see if I'm the oldest guy. Like watching
with an Avril Lavigne shirt on,
exactly. Yeah, watching Avril Lavigne. I wonder if I'd be the oldest guy there. I feel like I could be.
Somebody says, "What if this is just a giant fire fest type situation?" That would just disappoint so many people. Oh, in Guy Liner.
I'm expecting it. I halfway expect it, to be honest with you. They're promising a lot in one day. And I don't know if you can get all that to happen in one day.
At least it would kind of work, though, because then you'd all be sad like how you'd want to be.
Yeah, y'all cry.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I feel like, you know, they're delivering.
And one person says, I don't know if they found this out or if they're just assuming. They say it's one stage that rotates so that while one artist is playing, the other one's getting set up, and the whole thing's on like a Lazy Susan. No two bands are playing at the same time. It's totally worth it.
Wait.
That was definitely a Warped Tour thing that they did a few
really?
Years ago.
But Warped Tour also did side stages.
They did. And they had like three stages, and they were their rotating stages.
Okay, we got 12 hours. How many bands?
70. 70, yeah.
70 bands. There's no way you can do a 20-minute set on one stage in those 12 hours for all 70 bands.
Right. And some of those bands, you don't want to just see 20 minutes. Like, you're not going to be happy if, like, you go and, you know, Paramore and what is it? My Chemical Romance seem like the two big names. If they did a 20-minute set, we're rioting, man.
Yeah. My brain is still... I'm trying to think, you know, my brain is hurting. Let's just say you can get 24 bands in if they do a half-hour set in the 12 hours. So that's 24 bands on one stage if they're all doing a half hour and you don't have to worry about setup. That's still another 50 bands that you got to fit somewhere.
I heard a rumor that it was 3 stages, but I don't know if that's actually true or not. But regardless, you're going to be missing some of the bands you want to see. And like Steve said, at that point, it's going to be a 20-minute set. Like,
yeah.
I'd rather go see a smaller festival with like 10 bands than like something where I'm trying to get in everything in one
day. It is funny though, when you go to those kind of festival shows, you start really learning about let me weigh out the pros and cons of why I want to see this band as opposed, because like, okay, I can see this band, but then I have to leave at the 3rd song,
yep,
and then I got to fight through the crowd, or I just skip them and get a good spot so I can see the other band. It's kind of, it's one of, yeah. I think as a teen, it's the first time you have to make tough decisions in your life. Which band am I going to see?
Or can I run to the bathroom before I go catch this band playing? That was one of the VIP perks, was an air-conditioned bathroom. And I was like, hey,
dude, you've been in the bathroom for the last 7 hours. No. Are you okay?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, I have.
I'm comfortable.
It's Vegas in October. Of course I'm going to be in there.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, tickets are on sale on Friday again for whenwewereyoungfestival.com is where you can get them. And if you want to get that VIP cabana, only $12,500.
We should all go. How many people can you fit in a VIP cabana?
See, that's the problem. You need 12 people at least and you're still paying $1,000, right? If you split it 12 ways, that cabana can't hold more than 12 people, can it?
I don't know. How comfortable is it? How big do we have to be to fit in this?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, wow.
It's only 10 VIP admission tickets.
Okay, then.
But you get complimentary 2 bottles of your choice of premium liquor or champagne.
Ooh,
are you saying they only hold 10 or are there only 10 cabanas available?
It's like each VIP cabana includes up to 10 VIP admission tickets.
It's
like you can only fit like 10 people in there.
So you're spending over $1,000.
Oh, you get all
easy
unlimited Kleenex for when you cry when your favorite band.
Oh, that's worth it then. I mean, because that's a big bill.
Yeah.
It says you got food vouchers for all in the party. It's main stage only. So when it says the cabana is at the main stage only, makes me think there's other stages for sure.
Website, I guess, according to one texter, said that there's 3 stages.
Yep. Performances all day on 3 stages at the Las Vegas Festival Grounds, and you get a private air conditioned restroom.
There you go. Fancy. Well, I want to thank the texter for the misinformation about the Lazy Susan.
Well, that's what our texters do. They make stuff up.
Yeah, I know. They make them ups.
Yeah, we need it.
And you wonder why we're in the shape we're in this fine world that we live in.
This is perfect for Steve. You can skip the line and access for General Admission merch store.
Yeah, he does that anyway.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't need to pay for that.
You don't need to pay for that when you just walk up like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. And then just get that look on your face. What did I do? I did nothing. Peace.
But I got my hat and I got my poster.
Yeah, exactly. You're good.
Not bad, guys. I'll leave.
Yeah. Got mine.
I'm out.
He's got what he needs. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. It's Listeners on the Loose.
So they said, where the texter says, a joke on the festival that the My Chemical Romance reunion tour is in town 2 weeks before this show. And the rumor is also one of those other bands that's on that tour is a part of it as well, which is The Used. Nothing has been confirmed just yet, but that is funny. If like you're in Seattle and like you're dying to see My Chemical Romance, just see them here.
Yeah.
Then save yourself $10,000.
October. Oh, yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. The My Chemical Romance ticket was pretty expensive as well, but...
Is it $10,000?
No.
Okay. How much was it?
I think we got kind of nosebleed seats, and I think we paid at least $125 each.
That's still cheaper than $225, which is the basic admission, admission.
At the Tacoma Dome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty high up in the back, and at that point, it was more of like, I just want to go see the show.
Yeah.
But you're only getting My Chemical Romance and probably one other band for that price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's still less than $10,000, $12,000.
That's true.
Yeah,
get a bottle service, though, at the My Chemical Romance.
You'd be surprised what you could get for $12,000 in Tacoma.
Oh, all right. Let me tell you.
Wow.
You give me $12,000, I'll come down from my house and bring you a bottle of booze.
Wow, look at that. And that's just, you know what, that's the highlight. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot more, Danny, but that's the highlight.
All right, this person said, I have a question for Rev, BJ, and Vicky. Have you guys watched the first 3 episodes of Peacemaker on HBO Max? What'd you think? The opening credits dance number is amazing. LOL. I've heard about the opening credit dance thing. My buddies were talking about it over the weekend.
It was very well done, very fun. And if you liked the second Suicide Squad movie, you really were excited because this character Peacemaker was just hysterical in the movie.
That's John Cena.
Yeah,
it is.
And John does a great job, man. And I never remember the guy's name, but the guy that played the liquid metal guy in Terminator 2 is
Robert
his dad.
Patrick. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, he's his dad, and he plays a great a-hole of a dad. And they flush, you know, they flush. James Gunn is the guy that did this. James Gunn did Guardians of the Galaxy. So we love James Gunn's work. And this is, for me, he does a great job. I'm very happy with the first three episodes. Very well done.
On
HBO Max, by the way, if you don't know.
We started watching The Suicide Squad while we were off for those couple of days.
The new one?
Yes, I've already seen the other one. So.
Yeah. And what's the review? It's a,
I thought it was awesome. We hit a point where she's like, I can't do this anymore.
Literally, the beginning of that movie is going to turn.
Yeah, how did she make it 10 minutes into that movie?
Yeah. She was playing on her phone for a good period of time, bro.
Okay.
I know where she was out. I think the rescue. Did she leave on the rescue when it was when they were supposedly rescuing people?
It was around that time. There's the scene. I don't think I'm giving any away. There's a scene where John Cena's character just has an axe and just drop against someone's body.
Yeah.
Just like, kind of like just tenderizes the beef.
Oh, and that was it, huh?
That was the moment where she's like, what are we doing?
That's longer than I thought she would last.
Well, like I said, she was playing on her phone for a while.
Even then.
So then I tried suggesting we should watch The Peacemaker because it's getting so...
Oh, why? Yeah, why? You didn't even make it through Suicide Squad. Why would you suggest that?
Because I like to see how far I can push things, BJ.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, you would love the show just like you love The Boys. I feel like you'd love Peacemaker then.
Yeah, we didn't get past the previously on where it sums up what happened on The Suicide Squad so you're ready to watch The Peacemaker.
All right.
She's like, what are you doing? This is just another version of the movie we just tried to watch. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
But John Cena's in it. Come on, babe. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he does a good job. John Cena does a good job with the role.
I like to believe you. But hey, we watched Undercover Boss, and that was very good.
Or great.
Oh, that is a new season?
New season, yeah. Two episodes in, baby.
I know it's going to be a shock, but did a boss help out somebody that really was in a bad way that was their employee and they didn't know it was the boss?
How did you know?
Wow. That, congratulations, you know?
They did the College Hunk Movers was the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was good.
Yeah.
Not as good as The Suicide Squad, but it was good.
Were they hunks? Did he help out a hunk?
200 guys are pretty handsome men.
All right, there you go. Okay. There you go. You pick the topic. You guide the show. It is Listeners on the Loose, 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. More of your calls and texts at 935. On the Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on the Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. It's listeners on the loose. You pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Sue in Tacoma, you are on the Rock. Hello, Sue.
Sue.
Hey there. So I heard on the men's room recently, maybe yesterday or the day before, they were asking what was a great opening act that you saw, maybe a surprising opening act that you saw way back. So early 80s, it was a KISW $3 concert, and I saw Bon Jovi open for Rat.
Awesome. Wow. So that had to be before anybody had a clue, really, what was all Bon Jovi was all about the way they are now.
Correct. They had Runaway and Rat had Round and Round, and those were their hits at the time.
And Rat was considered a bigger draw since they were the headliner at the time. Wow.
They were the headliner with this group called Bon Jovi with their first single, Runaway, opening for them.
Do you remember what venue that was at?
It was somewhere in Seattle, and I don't remember exactly where.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Like, I wonder how big
it was. Probably early 80s, 84, 85, somewhere in there.
You think like 500, 1,000 people? How many people do you think were there?
Oh, it was pretty big. It might have been like the Paramount or somewhere. Oh, okay. The theater, I remember, and it was full.
That's awesome.
I mean, that was big. That was time when, you know, Van Halen had just played their 84 tour at the Coliseum.
Those are always fun when you find a band that then eventually becomes like a huge band that you get to see as being.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I've had a few instances with that. I remember seeing Faith No More at the Moore Theater, and the opening band was just loud and abrasive band. And at the time, I was like, these guys are incredible, but they were just so heavy. And it was Limp Bizkit.
Wow. This
is like before they ever blew, this is when their first record just came out. And it's like kind of crazy to think now, like they were the opener for Faith No More at the Moore Theater. But my favorite was I went to see a small, like kind of indie out there, cool band called The Doves, and they played at the Old Crocodile. And the opener was this band called The Strokes. And
wow,
they at that time had no record out. They were just starting to get a buzz. So some people heard of them, but no one heard their music. So it was just like, you heard that there's this band from New York that's kind of making noise. And man, they were so damn great. And I was so damn drunk, but I had such a fun time. And then The Doves came on, and it was just like one of those old stories where it's like, I don't care about this band at this point. Like, they just didn't have that same energy, that same, you know what I mean? Like, when you hear those old stories of Kiss opening up for, like, Three Dog Night or something ridiculous along those lines, where you're like, the opener just blew away the headliner, and that's exactly what happened that night.
That's a beating.
Mine was, I saw Fall Out Boy open. It was, like, in a place probably about as big as El Corazon in Albuquerque, New Mexico, called Launch Pad. Mm-hmm. And they opened for this band called Matchbook Romance back in the day.
I remember those guys. Yeah,
an emo band. But they opened, and more people were there for Fall Out Boy because it was, like, probably 2004, like, right after Take This to Your Grave came out. And Pete Wentz, I mean, it's small stage. Pete Wentz is jumping off of the wall, and it was just like, wow. They had to open it up for all ages because they were expecting it to be like, you know, 21 plus, but there's so many kids showed up, and it was like right before they blew up, and it was like, we saw Fall Out Boy at the smallest venue
back
ever.
In the day.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
That's part of why I don't think I like Pete Davidson, is that he reminds me of Pete Wentz.
That's the reason.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Whoa. They kind of remind me of each other. Like I dislike both of them. So it's like I kind of like just one fuels the fire of the other.
Now, I don't know a lot about Pete Wentz. What's he done to get your ire? Just because of the music he makes?
He just looks like a douche.
No, he is kind of a douche. I've seen him. In Albuquerque, I went to a bunch of Fall Out Boy shows, and he's gotten into fights with security guards like almost every single time. Jump off the stage, like just trying to be like super rock star. And it's like, come on, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
You're Pete Wentz.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, Steve, there you go. So poor Pete Davidson never had a chance, is what you're saying.
So, Rev, who was Orgy opening up for?
Who'd you get to see?
You know what, though? Actually, they blew me away when I got to see them live on Family Values. And that was a hell of a great show.
But they were like the opener.
Yeah. And it was them and the ones that stood out. No, it was the Pledge of Allegiance tour that was the big one for me with Rammstein, which that blew my mind because I didn't realize that you could feel flames that far away from the stage until they went on stage. And that blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, I do not want to be up close on this one.
Damn, and they're on stage. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just brought up seeing Evanescence at Hell's Kitchen. They weren't opening. I remember that show. That was just like a radio station show we did when I worked at the end. It was like super cheap ticket, like a $10.77 or $1.07. I can't remember, but they booked the show. This is one of those situations where
when they scheduled this small show to happen, nobody knew that Evanescence was going to become the band that they became. Everyone thought, okay, this band, Bring Me to Life, is doing decently on the radio. They're going to be popular and we'll have a fun show. And Hell's Kitchen held maybe like 400 people tops, 300?
Oh, maybe.
We might be close to 200.
Yeah.
And dude, they became the biggest band of that year. Wow. Right before that show happened. So that show was just a zoo.
That's awesome.
Like, I did the stage announcement and the room was so packed that I couldn't even leave the stage. I had to like be pushed like in the corner, like in like a little like crack in the stage, and just watch from there because like it was like there was nowhere to move, and I didn't want to like, you know, inconvenience anyone. So I'm just like, all right, I'll just hide behind the amps. It was awesome.
Hell's Kitchen was so tiny.
I love that place.
I wanted to go to that show because I remember it being announced, and then driving by and seeing the line wrapped around the block, not the building, the block, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm good.
That actually happened, almost the exact same story to me, but it was with Hailstorm and In This Moment at El Corazon. Mm-hmm. Like, I was doing the meet and greet. Like, I was helping facilitate the meet and greet with Hailstorm. Super, super sweet people. And In This Moment opened for them. And they were over capacity to max. Like, we were all sardined in there. Like, to the point where I had my male cousin with me, and he's like, I can't do this anymore because I'm standing behind you and this is just awkward. Like, we had a bailout. It was weird. I was like, okay.
You don't click on those thumbnails.
No. And I was like, I appreciate you, but yeah, we should probably head out of there. But it was, for the first part that I caught, it was so good. It was just too packed.
Oh. That's what you get for bringing the bail cousin.
Yep.
When Texas said they saw the first Pearl Jam show at the Off Ramp, and I think they were opening up for somebody. Yeah, they were. Was it the, oh man, I gotta go double check. I don't know if that was the Temple of the Dog thing that they did, or probably not. But wow. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Imagine seeing them at like, what was
it?
Graceland or El Corazon, yeah.
I mean, any of those bands that did open up for, you know, like a lot of the big rock bands at the time, the very rock bands that were pissed off when they realized they were about to be replaced in popularity by the Seattle sound bands.
BJ, I mean, Danny, you'll like this one. Blink-182, I saw them open up for MXPX at the Velvet Elvis.
Dude, I listen to Mike's podcast all the time, and he talks about those old days in like the early 90s, like 94, 95, when they would just tour with Blink, and I'm like, where was I? Oh, yeah, that's right, I was still in middle school.
Dude, Velvet Elvis was this tiny little spot where like all ages club. I remember my band playing there a lot, and it was just like, I mean, you fit in like nobody. It's like so small.
That's awesome. I hear like at times like they'll be like, oh yeah, do you remember when Green Day played at wherever, like back in the 90s? And I'm like, yeah. I don't, because I was in diapers still. But, you know, it's cool.
I like to bring up every once in a while to Danny that I got to see MXPX play at a church show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was, like, 13.
Back in their, like, veteran hall days.
I still see they're our worship team at our church.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I just skateboard with them now, so, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, is that what happens? Okay.
Yeah. Someone says, hey, thanks, guys. I'm now hooked on Wordle. It's the first thing I do to start my day, LOL. Another person, how brutal was Wordle yesterday? Yesterday's Wordle was tough.
Everybody seems to be drinking the Kool-Aid on this game.
Because you know what I like about it? It's one and done if you do the original version of Wordle. And if you do the original one, we all know what word you got.
Yeah.
So when you get it and you see everyone, I know it probably annoys people that don't play it and they see on social media that stupid little boxes on their social media pages. But it's like instantly like, oh, it took you 6 tries to get that one.
Yeah.
Like, so yesterday's word, I mean, it doesn't matter because it's yesterday's word was proxy.
Yeah, I hate that word.
That was so hard.
Oh, down to the wire, BJ.
Oh, you got it, though.
Yes.
You know what? I mean, I'm very proud of you because I wouldn't think those games are games that you would have the patience for or even be good at.
Well, of course I'm good at it. You see how I do it, beat Migs. I mean, geez, I'm a game connoisseur.
Yeah, but that's, but words, you know, like Scrabble-y stuff. Like, I'm really horrible at Scrabble-y stuff. So that's why, for me, I don't think I'd be good at Wordle. I don't think I could figure it out.
Oh, trust me, there are times where I have to put it down and come back to it later. Because I'm like, my brain's not going right. And I have one more guess left, and I don't want to ruin it.
You got to remember to come back. Because I did that yesterday and forgot to come back. So when I went this morning, it was erased. I couldn't do yesterday,
proxy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm mad because I had 2 guesses left.
See, yesterday I just went through them real quick and I could not get the word. And then I was like, ah, dang it, proxy. That makes sense. And then today I got it in 3 tries. So,
look at you fancy.
Almost every time I'm either at 6 tries or 5 tries on this damn game. So that's kind of helps prove your point, BJ. It's a struggle for me.
Yeah.
But patience wise, it's not that hard because I only have to play it once.
Yeah. Well, that I get that you're because you won't get sick of it when you can only play once a day. I do know that about you.
Right. I'm not
eventually you're going to get sick of it. I don't know if your shelf life is going to be the average person's shelf life or not. It'll be interesting to see how long the Wordle craze goes on.
I'll get sick of it when everyone else stops tagging me on it, on social media. Like right now, I don't think I'll get sick of it for a while because it's fun just to kind of see where I'm like, oh, if Danny got it in 5, let me see if I can do it in 4. You know, and then I get it in 6, and then I decide I don't want to share that.
Yeah, you probably go, yeah, never mind. I shared
my failure yesterday with Proxy.
That was awesome.
I was so mad.
Oh, wow. And you got Proxy Steve and Rev didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on. You know, Rev is not a good loser.
No, not at all.
It's a crapshoot. It all depends on what word you start with. Because you have to guess a 5-letter word, and then it'll tell you which letters from that word are in it. And then you go from there. So that's like a power of deduction.
Do you have a standard word that you start with?
Radio, baby.
Really?
See, he said that, and I was like, oh, I should do that one.
I always do great.
I do daily.
Oh, I do early, which I didn't do last time, which would have got me that Y at the end of Proxy, and maybe I would have won.
One day, it's going to be radio, and I'm going to lose my effing mind. Get it right in the first try?
Oh, yeah. You guys, I guess, if you think of a 5-letter word that you know might be a word they would use, that would be pretty amazing. Yeah, at that point, that's luck, right? There's no way you can do it on the first try without guessing, right?
Oh, it's 1,000% luck.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say the first two guesses, really, barring an amazing first one.
Yeah.
Those are just lucky guesses.
I guess in a way, that is luck when you think about it. Yeah, it's all luck. That first word does make a complete difference, doesn't it? And you're using the same word every day, or do you guys mix it up and think, all right, well, maybe I should try to use a different starting word?
I go with the same word every day so I don't have to think about it. Yeah. Well, I debate sometimes between radio and dairy.
Oh, radio and dairy. Nice.
Yeah.
You think of a thrill at that point.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, see, I thought you were thinking about ice cream, but, you know.
I was just one time looking at like the sour cream thing. It said dairy on it. So I was like, that's five letters.
Use that one of these days.
Wow.
I did.
All right, we got a big question that needs to be answered right now. What do Ryan Castle and Scott Stapp have in common? I'm going to tell you at 9:50 and make it 9:51 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. And now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and Scott Stapp have in common?
I can take you higher.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one touch that Steve likes it when their legs are spread wide open. It's arms wide open.
It's arms wide open. I missed that part in the song.
You get the lyrics right before you tell the truth. Another person says, here's something that Scott and Ryan have in opposition. Ryan deserves to be on the radio.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
Whoa, man. Man, oh, man.
Tough crowd.
How about this, though? Maybe you don't want him on the radio, but how would you like him to officiate your wedding?
Yes.
How about that? That'd be kind of fun, huh?
Sing through it all.
Yeah, there's going to be a honeymoon rock fest in Oklahoma City where Scott Stapp will officiate your wedding. He, Sugar Ray, and Puddle of Mud are headlining the fest, and you can buy a wedding package that allows you to get married in between sets in front of thousands of fans with the ceremonies officiated by the performers.
So it doesn't have to be Scott. I could get Mark McGrath.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good-looking crowd at that show.
Yeah.
I want Wes Scantlin to be to officiate my wedding.
You want him to marry you?
Yes, drunk Wes Scantlin.
All right.
Wasted with Wes Scantlin once after a holiday hangover ball.
Oh, really? Really?
No, it was a Rock Girl Gala.
Oh, I remember that one. Well, Ryan Castle, I don't know if he's wasted now, but he does have a 12-pack, and that's up next.
BJ and Migs, play of the day.
So it said, I kept clean urine in a condom, had it in my 90s waterbed to keep the temperature right. My mom would weed test me in high school back in the day. LOL.
The mom drug tested. Wow. First of all, pretty cool on mom that she's got the equipment to make that happen. I mean,
I was going to say pretty cool on the guy to have all this stuff ready to go for whenever he would get tested.
How about this dude sleeping on the pee?
Sleeping on the pee.
That was a great song by Aerosmith.
It's a great song.
DJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. Can I leave things off of a bankruptcy, like my car?
You have to list all of your assets and creditors when you file bankruptcy. So by you would have to tell the court and the trustee that you have the car or that you have a car loan. You could say that I want to keep my car and continue to make my payments on the car. But the court will need to know that you have a car and that you may have a payment on the car. So by leaving it off the bankruptcy, if you mean that you cannot disclose it to the court, the answer to that is no, you must disclose it. However, that does not mean that you'll lose those assets. You'll be able to keep things like a car and a house in almost all cases, but you must disclose them to the court. But you'll need to continue to make payments on a house or a car that you intend to keep.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.